And I'm going to continue with light. And in 1 John 1:5, Teresa, I'm going to let her hook up some of these scriptures. I'm not going to go back over them all, but I want to read this one. Because I told you the other day, I said one of our main vision and our main goals as a church, and as I was even talking to Holly today and different ones, and you know, the thing about it is to teach us to know God, to know God. And when I say to know God, I'm just talking about to know who He is, to know His character, to know that He's a good God. You know, there's a lot of people don't know God's good God. They don't know He's good. I mean, they have no clue. They put everything off on God and say, "All everything's God." And I'm telling you, we live in a world that is very obvious. Listen to me. It's very obvious about light and darkness, good and evil. Am I right? I mean, all the even TV shows, you always have the good and the evil in it. And thank God, most time the good wins. And so, but there's always good and there's always evil. There's light and there's darkness. But some people don't understand that God is light. And it says right here, and I like this, it says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is what?
Light.
And in Him there's what?
No darkness at all."
No darkness what?
At all.
At all. Not one smidgen bit of darkness is in God. Not one bit. Did you know we read about in Genesis chapter 3 where when Adam and Eve sinned and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that's when the light switch was cut off?
Yeah.
That's when death came in. See, man was designed to live forever in the Garden of Eden and to always have a perfect climate, all the food, no, never sweating or working the sweat of your brow, nothing like that. And there was no sickness, no disease, no poverty, no lack, no depression, no oppression. None of that stuff was in the Garden of Eden. And that's the way God designed man to live. And when they sinned, the light was cut off and darkness came in at that moment. Man was separated from God. Man was separated from God. And then God had to drive them out of the garden and kick them out of the garden and then put guards around it so they couldn't get to the tree of life. So they wouldn't be able to live for eternity in that state, that fallen state of separation from God. And so I think sometimes we live on the earth here and you try to tell people that God is good, and they connect good with everything. I mean, they make God the author of everything or the culprit of everything. And it's hard. And I've tried to talk to people about things, and they're so set, and I don't know what to say about it. They're so set on God basically being it all. In other words, God, and people who say God's in control of everything, they're wrong. They're wrong. Why do we say that? I mean, if God's in control of everything, He's making a mess of some things. Right? I'm going to say it right now. He's not even in control of me. Nor you. Boy, we're getting quiet right now in this Holy Ghost church. Why? Because listen, I just want you to know something. I've disobeyed Him a few times. Don't stone me. All right? And if He's been in control, complete control of me, I wouldn't have disobeyed Him at all. Are you seeing what I'm saying? No, I'm not. Don't make it a habit of that. And so, I want to kind of shine some light on some things. And I here's what I want as a pastor. I want when somebody tells any member of this church that some tragic, some murder, some hideous thing that's happened, God did it, I want you to be able to stand up and say, "No, He didn't." And I know in the Word of God, He didn't do it. He's a good God. And you can do that. I want our kids to be able to say that. Our youth to say that. Why? Listen. If I make God out to be the villain, everybody ain't gonna love Him. Listen, I'll just be honest with you right now. If I thought God was a murderer, He was a killer, He was a destroyer, I would. How could I love Him? But the Bible says God is love. He is love. He don't just love. He is love. And so I want to go through some scriptures tonight, and I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 5. And verse 20, Isaiah 5, 20, and it says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. You remember Jesus saying there's no one good but God? Amen. God is good. Yes. You know, it's amazing how many times God is called evil. Mm-hmm. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that kind of what's happening when people put all the blame on everything on God? Huh? It's Isaiah 5:20. And so, you know, we hear people, you know, of course, the kids, teenagers, I'm not saying anything negative about our kids, but when something good, you know, you remember back when they used to say, when it was good, they said, man, that's bad. That's bad. But really, they was meaning good, but they was calling it bad. Now they don't say bad, they say it's sick. That is sick. That is sick. Well, really, it's not sick. It's good. Right? Now, I ain't heard none of y'all talk, so don't get to say, man, my God, he's here listening to me. I ain't listening to nobody. But I found this out. I have never said that was sick. Huh? You know, we try to keep sickness out of our vocabulary. Because we found out the open door that we give to the devil, we have to watch very carefully. I want to kind of, as we was praying, the Lord took me to the scriptures I'm fixing to go to. And so I had to go in there and make a whole new sheet of paper, a notes paper. I can't make paper. Let's go to some scriptures. We're going to point the finger at somebody right now. And it's the devil. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This will kind of give you some ammunition, or at least not ammunition, but some truth. You all know these scriptures, but I'm going to read them anyway because the Lord kind of, during prayer, took me to these scriptures, or running over my spirit as we were praying. It says in verse 4, and I'm put it in a New Living Translation, if you will, Teresa. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe, for they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, my question to you, and you all know this, when did he become the god of this world? In Genesis chapter 3. Right? Who was the god of this world? Adam and Eve. He gave them the authority over this world. But when they sold out in the garden at that tree where the devil was at, where Satan was at in the form of a serpent, the devil took on that place of being the god of this world, and it says it right here. You know, it's amazing how you can read. I've read this before out of this church and had people shaking their head at me no in this church. And they're reading it right out of the Bible. Because somehow or another, they have a hard time realizing that the devil is real. And Jesus said he does nothing but come to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Amen? And it goes on to say, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus is the Lord, and we preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts, so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not ourselves. You know, we're talking about light and darkness. He said, now the light shines in us. Everybody shout, the light's in me. We are light. And there's a lot of scriptures talk about that. So the Bible says, Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You say, why can't they believe? Well, they're blinded. Who's blinding them? Who? Satan. That's what it says, or at least that's what my Bible says, and that's what we're reading. Over here it says, the god of this world, little g, which is the devil. Look in Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Man, you know, I'm glad I found this out. Are you glad you're finding this out, or you have found this out? I'm not telling you nothing you don't know. Listen to this. We've read this so many times. Luke 4, 5, and just do it in the New King James, Teresa. It says, then the devil taking him, talking about Jesus on the Mount of Temptation, they call it. Then the verse 5, now the devil taking him, Jesus, up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For notice what he said, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. He said, it's been delivered to me. When was it delivered to him? In Genesis chapter 3. Amen. At the tree. Right? Listen, he goes on to say, I give it, all this has been given to me, all the authority, all this glory, I have been delivered to me, it's been given, handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Is that what he said? That's what the devil said, wasn't it? You said, well, he lie, he fry. No. Listen to Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus didn't look at it and said, you're wrong, devil. You have no authority nor right to give me anything because it's not yours. He didn't tell him that, did he? Why? Because the devil was telling the truth. It's been given to me, and Jesus knew it was given to him. He lost all. So here's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is coming. Listen, we all know the plan of redemption. Jesus is here to get it back. I said, Jesus is here to get us back into the right relationship with God the Father. Listen, God loved Adam and Eve, and it hurt his heart so bad when they did what they did. And he still clothed them. He still loved them and cared about them and everything else. But he didn't have a relationship with him a fellowship with him like he wanted to have. And listen, they literally lost it. They blew it. But praise God, God was all the while working. He had a plan. I said, he had a plan. Praise God. We're reading these and we see this in the scripture. So when somebody talks about my Heavenly Father, I don't necessarily just say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I just say, I know the truth about my Father. You can believe what you want to believe about him, but I know he's good. Amen. I said, but I know he's good. Amen. I said, you got to know he's good. Amen. Huh? Now, go, if you will, to John 8. John chapter 8. Like I said, God kind of put these scriptures in my heart during prayer. John 8, St. John 8. Listen, Teresa, put this in the New Living Translation. Verse 37. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me. Because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I'm telling you what I saw when I was with my father, but you are following the advice of your father. Our father is Abraham, they declared. No, Jesus replied. If you were really the children of Abraham, you would follow his example. Instead, you're trying to kill me because I told the truth. I told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do such a thing. No, you are imitating your real father. They replied, we are not illegitimate children. God himself is our true father. Jesus told them, if God were your father, you would love me. If God was your father, you would love me. Because I have come from God, I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Did you know if you're not, if people's not careful, they'll close their ear to the message. They'll just shut it off. Let me keep reading real quick. Listen to what, how would you like for Jesus to tell you this? These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are the religious leaders of that day. They're the ones supposed to be teaching them the truth. And he said, for verse 44, for you are the children of your father, the devil. Oh, my God in heaven. What did he just say to the religious leader? I might wonder what the people thought that was hanging around him. They're what? They're their daddy's the devil? Is that what he said? He said, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Now, Jesus tells them, you're of your father, the devil. They were in darkness. But what did he say of the devil? He said he's a murderer. You know, I never have heard Jesus ever say the father was a murderer. Have you? Have you read it in any of the Gospels, any of the epistles, you haven't ever read any in the New Testament that says God is a murderer, but we have heard that God's good, that God is love, God is joy, all the things that the Word says He is. And listen to me, what we got to understand is God is not out to kill, He's out to give life. I said He's out to give life. And so many times when something happens, and listen, I've had a conversation with before a certain place where I was at, and a terrible accident happened not too many days prior to that, and an individual got killed that I knew real well, and they were talking in this place. I was talking about all the stuff and all going on, and it was ironic because there's these two cars coming down 164 just like this. And about the time that one got right next to it, it had a blowout that right into the other one and killed him. Now, the thing about it is I didn't say I did. All I said was when they was talking about all this and stuff, I said, well, you know, the thief comes to steal. He comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. And my response I got wasn't great. Now, these are Christian people, understand. You trying to tell me that the devil blew that tire out? I said, I didn't tell you that at all. What I'm saying is the devil comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God's good. And I knew that conversation ain't going nowhere, so I quit it. Huh? I remember getting a call one day, and a dear friend of mine, I grew up with him. We grew up, his daughter had an accident. She was 17 years old and was coming home from I don't know where. And she was 17 years old, had a car wreck, and it killed her. And, of course, they asked me to do the funeral. When she was a little girl, she came to our church and such as that. And so I was praying about it. You know, here's one thing about me. I'm not going to put all this blame, all this stuff on God. I'm just not going to do it because He's my Father. I'm not going to blame my Father. And anyway, I started praying, God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to this? And I'm telling you something. The funeral was in the First Baptist Church up here, and it was wall to wall, packed, every which way there was. I mean, it was full of kids, full of teenagers. And so, you know, when I got up there, I don't know what all scriptures I use and stuff like this, but God said this to me. He said, you tell them, I didn't take her, but I received her. Yes. So you tell them, I didn't take her, but I received her. Yeah. Amen. And so I ministered on the goodness of God, love of God, and I told that. And I said, God didn't take her, but God received her. And did you know I gave an altar call at that service that day and literally hands went up, all teenagers all over that church raised their hand to meet Jesus. Now, if they'd have thought Jesus did it, how would you respond to that one? Listen, we've got to get our perspective right of who God is. Now, Jesus told them the devil is a murderer. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy, but I came to give you life and give it to you in abundance. Now listen, my dad, he might not have been did everything just right, but I guarantee you one thing, my dad, he loved us and he'd have never done anything to us to harm us. Am I right? Anybody in church? And if I'd ever got hurt and somebody would have said, your daddy did that to you, I'd have said, you're crazy. My daddy would never do nothing like that to me. But many times we do that with our Heavenly Father. Y'all all know we're reading the Bible, right? We're not just coming off with something and thinking, well, you know, I'm just doing it. But listen, as a pastor, I want us to understand who the enemy is. If you don't know who the enemy is, you don't want to know how to stand against him. You got to know this. Let's go to Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 22. Verse 53. Lord just kind of popped this up. He popped this up while Linda was teaching at prayer. In verse 53, it says, Luke 22. This was when Jesus was Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be betrayed, when he's about to be taken and to die. And he said to them when they come out in verse 52, he said, Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? He says, when I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. This is your hour and the power of darkness. See, Jesus is talking about the power of darkness here. We know the devil's kingdom is the kingdom of darkness and God's is the kingdom of light. In other words, what he's saying was this. He said, you're supposed to have temporary authority over me. Darkness is about to have temporary authority over me. Because we all know Jesus came to die. That was the plan of God. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We all know this. And Jesus said this. But what struck out to me, the devil could have done nothing unless Jesus would have let him. Amen. Jesus submitted to the will of God. And the only way, because you got to understand something. In St. John chapter 1, the Bible says he was the light. And the darkness could not comprehend it or put it out. So he said, it's the time for darkness, but yet it's only, the devil didn't, did you know the devil didn't understand this is just a temporary thing for him? Because what was about to happen, in fact, the Bible says in Corinthians, if the devil would have known what he was doing, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. If he had known what was about to happen when Jesus said, okay, you've got an hour right here. This is your hour. This is your time for darkness. You're about to take me to the cross. I'm about to go be beat. All these things are about to happen to me. Of course, it was prophesied by Father. It would. And listen, Jesus had to submit. Listen. Jesus had to submit at that time to darkness. Because darkness could not have just come on and overpowered him and put it out. Why? Because the word says he couldn't. In fact, Jesus himself said, I could call 12 legions of angels and they'll take me up right now. But he said, that's not the plan. The plan is that I go to the cross, that I drink the whole cup. Remember, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I want your will to be done in my life. And so Jesus said, now it's your time, it's your hour, and you're about to have a temporary authority over this. But oh my God, notice Jesus didn't say, but it's only going to last for about 3 days. 3 days and three nights is all you get. He didn't tell him that. But he did know that Jesus said, in 3 days, I'm going to rise, be raised from the dead. He told his disciples over and over and over and over again. In fact, to the point of when Jesus died and they put him in the tomb, they sent the Pharisees and all those went to the Roman leaders. My mind's racing. And he said, they said this, listen, that deceiver, he's been saying they're going to kill him, and in 3 days he's going to be raised up. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to put some soldiers around that tomb so that deceiver won't be able to deceive nobody and say that he was raised from the dead, and then this thing will be worse than it was before. I'm here to tell you right now, no matter what they did, they could have put every Roman soldier on the planet around that tomb, and it wasn't about to stop what was about to take place after 3 days and three nights. Why? Because it was in the plan that darkness cannot extinguish the light. It could not put it out. This is an Easter service kind of sorta. Could you imagine? 3 days and three nights, all of a sudden, them old boys out there in the stone starts. I said, what's happening? Well, you remember he said 3 days and three nights he's coming out. That's exactly what he's going to do. But you know what? The most time we don't realize is that there was so many things going on in the spirit right then. All they saw, he died on the cross. He was taken off the cross. He was buried. But he was 3 days and three nights in hell. In hell. He went to hell for every man, for every woman. He went to hell. He was our substitute. He took our place. See, anybody that's going to hell right now, they're just going because they many times maybe ignorant or something like that, but Jesus went and paid the price down there for it. The Bible says he took our sin. He took our sickness. He took our disease. You know, when Isaiah 53:2 says that he was marred more than any man, the Bible says when he was crucified on that cross, he did not even resemble a human being. He was so marred and disfigured. You're to read it, Isaiah 52. He didn't even resemble a human being. You know why? Because can you imagine Elijah, every disease known to man on him? The Bible says he bore in his body our sickness and our sin, all that was bore on him. He paid the price, Maria, for it all. Every cancer, every diabetes, every disease, everything that could ever be known before man. In fact, they said was it 33 stripes he took, lashes? 39 stripes? And they said every disease falls under the category of 39 categories. Yeah. I'm telling you something, light, it seemed like it was put out. The disciples went their own way thinking, well, he's gone, it's all over. But I'm telling you what, God was working. God, in fact, the Bible says he went and he took something from the devil. I said he took something from the devil, what? He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. He said, giving up, devil. Could you imagine? Have you ever thought of what was going on? Jesus is in hell, and the devil probably got all these old imps and all such. Y'all go guard him, take care of him. After all, he said he's going to raise him the third day. You go guard him, make sure corruption. You go get a hold on him. Y'all go hold him down, stuff like that. And I guarantee you, after 3 days, there was something happening down there, and he started rising up. He probably said, oh, my Lord. He might probably didn't say that. He probably said, oh, my gosh, or whatever. I don't know what the devil said. He said, oh, no. But Jesus come up to him and said, I want the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And when he came out, He came out triumphant. Listen, that murderer has no right to you. That liar has no right to you. Jesus, oh, do y'all mind if I go somewhere else real quick? Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Let's just start with verse 16, New King James. It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. What does that next verse say? But some doubted. Here he is. Appearing before him, and there's still people doubting it. Have you ever tried to show somebody something in the Bible and they just flat out tell you they don't believe it? You're showing them Jesus and they don't believe it. Am I right? And Jesus came and spoke. Listen to what he said. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now this, he done went through hell. He's done bore our sicknesses, our diseases, took our sin, done all that. And then he said, all authority. Why? Because the devil only had a very short period of authority over Jesus. And it's only because it was given to him. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now notice what he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You said, what's so important about that? Listen to what Jesus did. All authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on the earth. Where are we? We're on earth. And here's what he told us to do. He said, here's what he's saying, go in this authority. Go in my authority and preach the gospel. And if you read Mark chapter 16, he added, cast out devils, heal the sick, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means hurt you. And he said they went out everywhere, and God confirmed his word with signs following. Listen to me. Darkness has no authority over light. It was a very temporary time that happened, and it was so the plan of God could be carried out. So that same light, that same power, that same authority would be given to his church that we could live in triumph and victory right here. We could reign in life as kings and priests unto our God. Listen to me. You've got to understand, every good and perfect gift comes from God. It don't, listen, not the bad, the evil, not the good, the bad, and the ugly. Only the good comes from God. God, listen to me. We cannot pin everything on God. We got to understand who the enemy is, what he's doing, and put a stop to it in the name of Jesus, because we have authority in the mighty name of Jesus. The devil has no right to use up his authority over you. You don't need to give him not one inch. What does it say? Don't give the devil no place. People say, you know, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. He'll take more than a mile. He'll take your life if you give him a chance. Listen, God wants us to understand who he is. God, Elijah, is love. God is love. There's no hate in him. There's no evil in him. There's no wickedness in him. He's a good God. Say it with me. God's good God. Say he's good to me. Say he's good to me. Say he's good to me. Say he's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my all in all. He's my I am. Everything that I have need of. Hallelujah. Now I'm telling you something, Ozzy. I can love somebody like that. I said I can love somebody like that. I can devote my life to somebody like that. I can give him my all. I can serve him every day a father like that. Amen. Y'all believe he's that way? Isn't it in the Bible? When you read the Bible, you'll just read about how good God is. Just read about how good it is. We ain't even through this light thing yet. I tell you, the Bible tells us we're to be children of light and walk in the light. Hallelujah. Glory, I'm going to quit right there. Was that all right tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a good God we serve. Woo! Glory to God. Wow. He's a good, good father. Isn't he a good, good father?